Now we have an entity for federal tax purposes is the default rule here. But what does that mean? So in 2010, which is, you know, fairly long time to kind of be without any specific IRS guidance, the IRS issued proposed regulations on the tax treatment of a Series LLC. They remain proposed to this day. They are authoritative guidance. You can rely on them. At one point, they were priority guidance for the IRS. This was an initiative they were working with. Since 2010, we have the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We have a lot of other things going on. They're not even on their list anymore. So just kind of put this out there. Is this something that could be addressed by the IRS and Treasury in the future? Yes. Will it? Possibly. Many think that this is one of the prohibitions or considerations of why some states haven't leapt in and formed series. And we have states that have absolutely no tax guidance on how a series is taxed right now. Texas does provide, in federal guidance, we have some most of our answers. So again, we have proposed regulations that were issued in 2015. And essentially what they say is that they're going to treat a state tax law series as a separate entity. However, what they do not opine on is how the SLLC is taxed. It's specifically left open. May not have known that. And so just to kind of walk you through, prior to the proposed regulations, there were issues and concerns of how are these taxed, right? Is it going to be a single business entity for federal tax purposes? Is there going to give significance to the series, either the SLLC or the series of the series? Would it be a master series LLC, kind of treated as a parent? That's the tax entity. And maybe we'll give deference if you elect with respect to the cells or the series of the series. Or was it going to be a separate business entity, which is how they look at the series of the SLLC. Again, the proposed regulations specifically do not address how the SLLC is taxed. But in sum, what we're kind of left with is general tax principles here. Some key terms in the proposed regulations, just so that you realize we have even more differences, right? Not only are we going to call it an entity for tax purposes, they use some different terms. They refer to the SLLC as the series organization that establishes and maintains the series. They refer to the series or cell organizations as the segregated group of assets and liabilities that are established pursuant to the state statute. And then they go in to discuss what the state statute must explicitly provide. And some, I've got the three bullet points there. I don't need to read them to you. But essentially, the proposed regs were drafted in 2010 when you had at least, I think, about eight states that did have series. And they were all drafted to cover every single state statute. So they are intended to cover what is out there from a state law perspective. Right. So federal tax treatment, we're kind of left with normal separate entity analysis. You do just for a normal LLC, not necessarily a series. And so we start with the kind of threshold question is this a business entity for tax purposes? And that's particularly important if you have the SLLC, right? I presume a lot of you have the SLLC, maybe the taxpayer, and then a lot of disregarded entities below. They can obviously get much more complex. I know a lot of captive insurance use series. You have some, you know, private equity that uses it that may get a much more complex tax structure. But a lot of people are doing series, I think, because they're trying to be more economically efficient. Reduce filing fees, having a whole bunch of tax returns is obviously going to shift that narrative, and you become much more expensive from a tax compliance standpoint, at least. So we start with the threshold question whenever you're looking at any of these entities of, is this an entity separate from its owners? And we go to basic Treasury regulations. This is in the check-the-box rules that all of you are familiar with. And what's important to look at is it a joint venture or a contractual arrangement to carry on a trade or business for financial operation or venture, and importantly, to divide the profits therefrom, and not simply just arrangement where you're going to share expenses and mere co-ownership, your tenancy in common, where you've got non-taxpayer, right? So you do need to have a taxable entity that both is carrying on a trade or business and they're dividing profits. That's the threshold question for the IRS to review. And you could see circumstances, and the preamble to the proposed rules, the explanation, specifically notes that in particular, an SLLC that has no assets engaged in no business activity likely won't be recognized. So, again, these are proposed rules, but something to think through when you're structuring these is that especially the, you know, mother doing anything? Does it have any business activities? Maybe it does, and all your entities, you know, have title, but merely holding title further, they note, doesn't make it necessarily the owner, which is an important factor for general tax principles of how it's default taxed. So moving from there, we have our normal check-the-box rules, right? So unless there is some sort of an entity that's going to have a specific rule apply, is it a trust or an insurance agency or something of that nature, then you get to pick, which is great, right? Normal rules are going to apply here. If it's a single owner, single member of, you know, series, which is how a lot of them, I believe, are structured, then it's going to be disregarded unless you otherwise elect it to be taxed as an association taxable corporation, either your S-corp or C-corp. If you have more than one owner, then partnership rules will apply. Or you can make the same election. So we're kind of left with this question, though, when evaluating the SLLC most specifically, as well as the series, is does it have a business purpose that constitutes an entity that can make an election?